The following program is a production of Holy Spirit Radio.
The world is being deprived of future generations.
We are so glad that so many young people are getting involved in pro-life things.
We always understood that human life begins at conception.
Welcome to Voices for the Unborn, where every week at this time, we bring you the voice of life.
What this theology of the body has given us is nothing short of a revolution for the world.
That's where I see the hand of God in hindsight. When I look back, I see His fingerprints all over my life.
To me, it should just refuel us and get us going so we can get out there and protect those unborn children.
We just can never give up.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Voices for the Unborn. I'm Bill Miller. Today, we're going to have some special guests on. Their names are Jenny Galliani and Maria Malone, and they have formed an organization called Adoption is a Loving Option. We will talk a lot more about that when we get into the program, but right now, let us begin with our opening prayers, and Jenny and Maria will handle that.
Father of all mercy, we thank you for this season of grace and light. We know that sin has blinded us. Draw us ever closer to you in prayer and penance. Give all your people a clearer understanding of the profound dignity of every human life, including the children in the womb. As we prepare to celebrate the death and resurrection of Christ, strengthen our joy in the fact that life has already conquered death. As we prepare to renew the promises of our own baptism this Easter, grant that we may live more faithfully as the children of God and the people of life. We pray through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. And we have the petitions that we normally do every program, so Maria will introduce the petitions.
Now our response is, Lord, hear our prayer. For all bishops, priests, and deacons, that their preaching of the gospel might reflect not only fidelity to the teachings of the church, but also acknowledge the needs of the people they serve. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all our elected officials, that they might render to God all the things that are properly His, and that their own work might truly advance the dignity of each human person, born and unborn. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all those discerning vocations to the priesthood and religious life, especially for seminarians throughout the church, that their formation might be filled with the light of the Holy Spirit and their studies with His wisdom. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all those who have received graces through the ministries of our holy priests, may our lives reflect that love that has been given to us. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For greater devotion to Our Lady, especially in the praying of the Rosary, that many parishes and families might be united through their common meditation on the great mysteries of our Catholic faith, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all those who have gone before us and now wear the crown of glory in the kingdom of God, may they continue to be a source of grace and inspiration to us. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all mothers considering an adoption plan and choosing a loving couple to raise their child, that they may prayerfully consider the best option for their unborn child, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For married couples yearning to adopt a baby and provide it with a loving home and bright future, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer. And we have a prayer that I got off the Internet seeking to get something about adoption. So which one of you ladies would like to read that prayer? Okay.
God, you do love adoption. You've adopted us into your family, giving us all rights and privileges of family. We are heirs and co-heirs with Jesus of all your treasures. We pray today for those seeking to adopt a child. Many children in the world do not have mothers and fathers, and there are many mothers facing an unplanned pregnancy that don't know if they can parent their child. many men and women do not have children. God, bring them together. Create the perfect match. Provide resources. Provide perfect timing. Give endurance and emotional strength through the grinding details. Give wisdom for them to anticipate ahead how to prepare practically for the coming change. Strengthen their marriage ahead of this coming gift. Heal any past disappointment. Parental love is nature. Adoptive parental love has been supernatural. Give a miracle of love and bonding. May nothing stand in the way of you accomplishing a completion of this match, child to parent. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen. Okay, we're through our introductions of the program. This is normally what we would go through every week, and then we, you know, when we have a guest, we let them take over, or if I'm going to discuss politics or something, then I just step in. But wanted to welcome you to Holy Spirit Radio. You can see we have a nice family atmosphere here.
Thank you.
I want people to know that I met you ladies down at the Archdiocesan Seminar on Adoption. Mm-hmm. That was the topic of that whole seminar that day. And you had everybody spellbound, captivated, listening to your different stories. And they each had something else to say after you were fielding questions and answering their concerns. So that I thought, well, should be on a radio program so other people could hear what you spoke about that day. And I was amazed that you, between the two of you, you have seven adopted children.
Mm, that's right.
And you spoke about them. We don't have a video here, but you showed all the videos on a computer display down there, and beautiful children, and talked a little bit about each one of them. So what I want to let people know right now before we go on is that you are listening to Holy Spirit Radio. Our guests today are Jenny Galliani, and Maria
Malone.
And so if you have a question for them as they are speaking about their what they've done and how they can help people, you can call 215-345-1570. This program is broadcast here in the Doylestown, Philadelphia area on 1570 AM and in the Coatesville area for 1420 AM. I'm trying to think the name of the station out there, the call numbers, but we used to have them right up here so I could see them, but don't have it. Anyways, 1420 AM in Coatesville and 1570 AM here, but the phone number is still the same, 215-345-1570. So why don't we begin with both of you talking a little bit about how you each got into this program that you have established and how you help other women who would be considered adoption.
Bill, first, we want to thank you so much for having us. We really appreciate so much that you want to share the beauty of adoption through your programming, and we appreciate the opportunity to be here. So thank you so much for that. Yes, Jenny and I, we've known each other for over 11 years now. We met through our parish, Mary Mother the Redeemer, in North Wales, Pennsylvania. Our pastor at the time, Monsignor Philip Ricci, introduced us and was just so passionate about making sure that families within the parish had support that were going through the adoption process, and he knew that we were both going through that process. Jenny and her husband, Dave, have adopted four children, and my husband, Mike, and I have adopted three children, and all of our children were born within the U.S. And we've been talking about adoption for many years through a support group that we have at Mary Mother the Redeemer Parish. And that group's been in existence for a very long time, for over 10 years. We've been meeting on a monthly basis, and we still meet on a monthly basis. And through that process, we learned that there were a lot of myths and misconceptions about adoption. People would ask us a lot of questions about how it works. So a couple of years ago, in 2014, our parish priest, Father Tom Whittingham, suggested that we had to get this information out to the schools. And we said, yes, that's exactly what we need to do. Jenny and I had always felt called that we need to do something more in this area of adoption and sharing the beauty of adoption. So in the spring of 2014, Jenny and I together co-founded Adoption as a Loving Option. And our dream really through this organization is, our dream is really to live in a world where the demand for abortions is virtually non-existent because no one would ever consider one. So in this time where, you know, the laws are crazy and we never know, you know, we're always fighting them, and it's always good to fight the laws that exist in our country. But our thought was, you know, if we can share our stories and we can educate people on adoption, then we could change hearts and we could change minds and get to a point where people would never even consider adoption. And that's really been our goal and our mission through the work that we do.
Adoption or abortion?
Abortion.
You're right.
Please consider
would never consider abortion.
I'm listening.
That's right. Very good. Yes, my apologies. Right, and that they would understand that adoption truly is a loving option for someone that is facing an unplanned pregnancy.
Mm-hmm. So you have 7 bundles of joy that came into your families. And I said, as we move along, you talk a little bit about the circumstances that led up to the adoption of each one and
sure.
the joy that they brought to your family and how they just blended right together,
mm-hmm.
brothers and sisters. Probably like cousins now, right?
Yeah.
Between
our
two
kids. Our kids,
that's
yeah,
right, they are,
very
right.
Good friends.
Right.
That's right. yeah, Dave and I were brought to adoption after just not being able to conceive. We were really never diagnosed with anything in particular. It was just unknown. And so we started, I actually realized one night, I said, it's just, I can't do this anymore. The fertility testing and treatments, it's more important for me to be a mother than it is for me to be pregnant. And we started looking into adoption. Which of course is quite the big black hole when you know no one that has adopted. So I did a lot of research and narrowed it down to an agency that I felt comfortable with. And we adopted our first daughter in 2001 from Florida. We were able to meet with her birth mother at her birth, and we were there within a couple of hours of when she was born. And she was discharged to us as all of our children were at the time of their birth when they left the hospital. We had custody of them. And we were lucky to adopt 3 more after that. We had rather quick adoptions and got to meet all of the birth parents with exception of a couple of birth fathers. But my children are...
You fled the country?
No. We were... our children are 14, 12, 8, and 4 currently.
Wow.
So 2 boys, 2 girls.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. That's what I have.
It's busy. We're hopping.
Mm-hmm. Only they're in their 50s.
My our oldest son is Nick. He's 12 years old. And Nick was born in Texas. And his story is a huge reason of why I feel so driven to share our stories. His birth mother, when she was pregnant with him, she scheduled an abortion twice during her pregnancy with him. But she said there was this little voice inside of her that kept telling her, if you give me a chance, I'll show you where I belong. And that has just stuck with us ever since. And really, we think to ourselves, gosh, you know, if more women knew about adoption, would they make a different choice? And that's really what drives us to do this work. And then our second son, Alex, is 10 years old, and he was born in California. And our daughter, Michaela, is 6 years old, and she was born in Texas. And we were fortunate enough to be in the delivery room for 2 of their births, so that was wonderful. And all 3 of the children, when they were released from the hospital, they were released to our custody. So we've been with them since the day they were born, and we have relationships with their birth families that we cherish, really. When we first got off into this adoption process, we were really afraid of birth mothers. You know, it's kind mm-hmm. of a scary thing, which is a very common feeling for lots of families that are considering adopting children or going through the adoption process. But we found very quickly that we got to meet them and talk to them on the phone before the children were born. So that's how we initially started this bond and this relationship that we have. And we just found so quickly they were just such strong, loving, hardworking women that just found themselves in extraordinary circumstances. And we just can't help but fall in love with these women who have given us a gift beyond gifts, something that mm-hmm. doctors couldn't help us with, because as Jenny and Dave, the same was true for my husband and I, we came to adoption because of infertility. And for them to help us with something, you know, our families that love us so much and our friends that want to help us, but this is something they couldn't help us with. And here these 3 beautiful women gave us this gift of these 3 beautiful children. And we have relationships of varying degrees with all of the families to this day, which we really do cherish and which really have been helpful to us in raising our children.
Yeah. Well, having that relationship with the birth mothers, you often hear people say, well, who knows if that birth mother is going to come around and want that child back and go through all kind of lawsuits and things like that. So is there any security when you do make the adoption that that can't happen?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I think our media does a good job of covering all the scary and bad parts of adoption and not such a good job of talking about all the positive laws that protect those sort of things from actually happening. We have laws in every state, and they vary from state to state, but there are termination laws that have to happen, and so typically they happen within 48 hours to 5 days of when the child is born and not before. And at that point, she would sign off her legal rights. And once she has done that, they're irrevocable. You know, she can't go to court 10 years from now and try to get her child back. It doesn't work like that.
Mm-hmm. I remember many years ago watching a TV show, and it was about this talented woman who was like a big star in something, and she was adopted. Mm-hmm. And they said, well, we have a surprise for you. And they opened the screen, and here comes out her mother, who was stunning beautiful. Mm. And they looked so much alike. It was unbelievable that they...
So it's her birth mother.
Yeah, her birth mother. Wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this was like she had never met her. She was like probably in her 30s or something like that. And so I guess it goes through the minds of the children that at least I just want to meet her, and so I know who she was. Mm-hmm. And then... this is really my family, mm-hmm. you know, and I know that.
And adoption has changed so much over the years. Back there, you were saying she was probably 30 or something. So, you know, 30, 40, 50 years ago, adoption was very closed and very secretive. So it was very common that birth families and adoptive families didn't know each other,
yes.
knew nothing about each other. Adoption has completely changed. Nowadays, what's most common is what is called a semi-open or an open adoption, where we as adoptive families are able to keep in touch with our birth mothers. And that's one of the beauties of adoption that we like to share with people and with women that are considering an adoption plan for a child, is that they have that opportunity. They have the opportunity to get to know the adoptive families if they want, and to keep in touch with them through pictures and letters, and sometimes even meeting face-to-face, which we've done in varying degrees, all of those things. So that's something that's really important, that's very different today than it was before. And that really, you know, these are some of the things we share when we speak, is that that's really one of the things that helps women that choose an adoption plan for their child to truly find peace with their decision and to truly, really, truly feel good about the decision they've made and that they've made for themselves, for their child, and also for us. They realize, they get to understand the impact that they've had on our families and our extended families and all the people that know our children. And so that's a great thing. And we talk a lot about that in the schools.
And plus, I think addressing your question about this unknown, kids wondering what they're or thinking or envisioning what their life would be like if they were with their birth parents or something. I think today one of the benefits of the semi-open adoptions that we have is that we as adoptive parents, we're able to answer so many questions that they have and show them pictures and tell their story and even explain like things that their birth parents were good at. And maybe that's why you're athletic, they were athletic. That it really takes away the unknown, scary, wondering portion of it for the kids. I mean, there's still obviously things they question, but we know so much more now that it's so much healthier.
Yeah, I want to remind everybody that you're listening to Holy Spirit Radio. My guests today are Jenny Galliani and Maria Malone from Adoption is a Loving Adoption. It's like a tongue twist. Adoption is a loving option. And so if you have a question for them, I just posed a couple questions. But if you have any comments or questions and you'd like to call in, the number is 215-345-1570. So we'd like to, you know, open it up to the phones or anybody who has a call. A lot of times when we have a guest on and they are involved with what the topic is, but sometimes they're afraid to call in, so now everybody knows what their background is and things like that. But if you are an adoptive parent, it might be good for you to come in and share how happy that has made you with your child. I mentioned to you downtown at the seminar about my niece has two adopted children from Romania and then one son from, I can't remember what country, mm-hmm. but it wasn't in the United States. But brought great happiness to them. The kids are very happy. There was never any idea that they wanted to go see their who their parents were in Romania. In fact, when my niece went over there, they had all the babies. It was a bad time in there, and the babies were just in cribs. It was freezing in the room. It was just, you know, diapers were not changed. It was a bad situation that they brought them children out from that. And now here they are, college graduates, got mm-hmm. on their way to their own careers. So it's a, and that's what's out there for people who have not been able to conceive, but still want a child. And if they want the happiness that so many other adoptive parents have, you got to take the step forward and you got to look into it and help a child who is really seeking a parent to love and that love back, you know. Mm-hmm. So,
mm-hmm. One of the things we were going to talk about is the work that we do in the high schools here in the Philadelphia area that Maria was mentioning earlier. We started speaking to high schools almost 2 years ago by sharing our personal stories on adoption with them. We give a voice and a face to the unborn child, and we kind of explain adoption to these high schoolers. And the reason we're doing it with the high schoolers is we really want to plant that seed that says to them, if I know someone who's faced with an unplanned pregnancy, or if I myself am, there are other options other than just abortion or parenting. And, you know, every day there's 3,000 abortions that are performed in the United States. And 84% of those women say that they felt that that was their only option that they had. And only 2% of those women that are in these situations actually go ahead and make an adoption plan. So we want to start planting the seeds where it matters. And it's been incredible in doing so. We found that by educating our youth and the young adults, we're empowering them to speak up against abortion and to support adoption as a better choice and understand more options if they're faced with that unplanned pregnancy. In fact, we were at an all-girls high school not too long ago, and Maria and I, we hand out a questionnaire that asks whether they were pro-choice or pro-life before we began speaking. And I think we were both naive in thinking that since we were at a Catholic school that they would all be pro-life. Mm. But what we found was over 80% of them considered themselves pro-choice before we came in. And then after listening to us explain adoption and how it thrives on all sides, the adoptive family, the child, the birth family, that they come to a place of peace knowing that their child is growing up happy and healthy and they are at peace with that decision when they see that, when we're communicating through emails and pictures and letters. And so at the end, we asked the same question, what would you consider yourselves now? And so many of them wrote that they knew nothing about adoption and they were so glad that we were there because now they would consider themselves pro-life and open to an adoption plan. Just so many people don't fully understand how it works or picture the children growing up unhappy or that the birth mothers would take them away or that it's mean to take a child away from a birth mother. So we try to dispel a lot of those myths and misconceptions in doing so. And it's been really rewarding.
Well, go ahead, Maria.
Sure. Yeah, and what Jenny said is so true is that, you know, that's really our whole goal is really to educate because we're finding that, you know, it's just so important that these young people get educated and be able to see that adoption truly is a loving option, that there really is another option because they are so bombarded by the media and by, you know, people that are pro-choice that, you know, abortion is their only option, that's the quick fix kind of a thing. So really we're there to kind of say, no, there really is another loving option and just to really see that, you know, the beauty of adoption, you know, it is all about love and mercy. And especially in this year of mercy, it's such a beautiful topic to talk about because it truly is showing mercy to a woman that's facing an unplanned pregnancy. So that's why we really work hard to make sure that these kids are aware of that. And we also, in addition to the high school work that we've been doing, and actually we should mention that Jenny and I welcome any opportunity to speak in high schools. We don't ask for any kind of a fee or anything like that. Mm-hmm. So if there's anyone out there who's affiliated with a school or any organization for that matter, We would be more than happy to come out to you. You can reach us on our website, adoptionisalovingoption.org. It's all squished together, no spaces, and reach out to us, and we'd be very happy to come out and speak to your organization about adoption. So please feel free to contact us. And we're always happy to answer any questions, too, even for people that are considering adoption as a way to parenthood. That's something that we're always very welcome into doing.
Or even with our adoption support group, if people are local and interested in that. It's an incredible group of women. We have over 25 families, I think, in total involved, and it's such a great support system. We really have become very close, and we're all at different stages in the adoption program, but that is something that we do locally at Mary Mother Redeemer Church. You do not have to be Catholic to come, it's a way that we can really support each other through the whole adoption process.
Yeah, and in addition to the schools, some of our work that we've been doing is also educating people that work in pregnancy resource centers, because they too, like everyone else, they don't necessarily know everything about the adoption process. And Jenny and I have been very blessed to be able to do some work with some local pregnancy resource centers in the area, and they have shared with us, with just a little bit of information that we gave them, what a positive impact it's had. Just some small modifications that they made in how they were approaching the subject of adoption with women that were coming in a crisis pregnancy situation. And that's awesome. That is such a beautiful thing that they're able to reach out. You know, these people that work in pregnancy resource centers are just some of the most amazing people. They work so hard and they do such beautiful work and really reach out and love these women. So just by giving them a little bit of information of how to approach adoption or answer questions that they had that they were unsure of, they just became even more emboldened to share the message and the beauty of adoption with these women, and it's had an impact. So that's an area that Jenny and I are also focusing on, is talking to people in these pregnancy resource centers. And again, that's an area where, you know, through this, we're in the season of Lent now, and we're in the year of mercy. And what a beautiful way to share that through adoption, by educating someone or just learning yourself more about it and incorporating those things into whatever work or ministry you may be doing.
Well, with the counselors, I've been done a lot of that myself outside of abortion mills. Mm-hmm. And I remember being there with a lady named Vi Ludovici. She had nine children. And we walked down the street with this young woman, and she said, you know, you could consider adoption. A loving parent would take care of your child, raise it, and you'd know that it was safe. And she'd say, oh, no, I don't know it would be safe. Hell, I don't know that it would abuse it and all this. And I retort that was abuse. Abortion is the ultimate abuse. You know, you can at least give your child a chance to life with a family that will raise him, you know, and there's laws and all that had to be filed for the health of that child. So, but you wonder if that stuff gets put into their mind by some of the teachers in the schools who promote abortion, and they don't want to have anything to do with adoption, because they think that, well, that'll make these children become more.
I do think it's important to address that, because I think a lot of what you're saying is people that's exactly why we do what we do. That is why we are out with this mission, to educate people, because people still believe in these archaic thinkings and or these misconceptions that maybe there isn't this great screening process that we have to go to. But I have to tell you that, as adoptive parents, we go through an incredible screening process to be parents. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's unbelievable. The home study process involves all kinds of things: criminal background checks, child abuse background checks. They dig deep into your financial stability so that they know that this child will be able to be taken care of financially, be given a good education.
This is just things that people should know.
That's right. They need to know that this is what we go through. They come in. Everyone living in your household has to have a physical by a doctor, make sure you're in good health, blood work. They inspect your home, your cabinets, your closets, make sure you have fire extinguishers on every floor. I mean, it's legitimate. And if you are an adoptive family and you're not hearing about the home study, then that's a red flag. You should have a agency that wants to give you a very thorough and complete home study, because it's to your advantage.
Yeah.
when a birth mother is trying to decide, pick a family. And then we also go through creating a profile. Actually, we create video profiles too now, where the birth mother can watch what it would be like to live in your house for a day and what your family likes to do for fun. And we put all these things together and we put them on paper and we write, we answer lots of questions, our favorite things to do, why we want to adopt, talk about our families, and the birth mothers get to choose. And then on top of that, we also follow a very strict post-placement visits that have to happen. Each state has different requirements, but typically they span out over the course of 6 months and range between 3 to 6 visits. Pennsylvania, we had 6 visits for 6 months, where a social worker comes out to our house once a month, and she needs to see the doctor's visits report.
And that's after the child's born and with us
in our home.
Yeah.
Just to make sure that that child's thriving, that we aren't abusing this child, that
right.
The child is thriving and that you're doing well. And it's very thorough. And any birth mother considering this should know and feel rest assured that we go through a rigorous screening process.
Yeah. Well, that's, I think, even just any adoption, the people have to go through that screening. So,
yeah. Mm-hmm. It's
anyone
good.
Has a question, call in here at 215-345-1570. This program is being heard in the Philadelphia area, in Doylestown area, and also out in the Coatesville area on 1570 AM here in Doylestown, and 1420 out in the Coatesville area. I had a... No, go ahead. Before the thought, lose your mind.
Go ahead. No, we're good.
Okay. My question, as I stated earlier, was this young girl standing on the corner in Street Road and Lewis Drive, is where it was.
Mm-hmm.
She had just come out of Warminster there Planned Parenthood. And... I'm concerned, and it's good that you are going into the schools and giving all this information, because we know that when our kids go off to school, especially when they jump, and I don't want to demean the public schools, but when they jump from 8 years of Catholic school, and now they go to a public high school because they, the course of to their parents... to sending them to a Catholic school is, you know, prohibitive.
Mm-hmm.
So now they're in a public school system. And I've known teachers who were adamantly pro-choice.
Absolutely.
And their personality carry in the, they say, oh, we're not allowed to talk, but
it's just
they talk about it. It just comes up. As a question comes out, they'll put their two cents into mm-hmm. that. To them young
sure.
people.
What's so interesting for Marie and I is that we're realizing it's not just the youth that doesn't understand this. It's actually really well-educated people
yep.
that have great
Everyone.
Intentions.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that we're trying to point the finger at people that are bad people. It's just that people don't really know. They just don't know. And
yes.
so that has become our mission, to get people to understand the truth about adoption and how it works.
Have you been to any of the local schools here in the Bucks County area, like high schools, say like Archbishop Wood, or
we've been to Archbishop Carroll High School.
Carroll.
We've been to Gwynne Mercy Academy High School, Lansdale Catholic,
mm-hmm.
Bishop Shanahan High School, Father Judge. So we've been to many high schools, and in each year, it's really amazing. You know, Jenny and I, like we mentioned earlier, we just have always truly felt called that we need to do this. We need to go out and we need to educate people on adoption. And the first time we went to a school, and we got the feedback, and this happens every time. The staff and the faculty, they say, thank you for coming. Thank you for coming. They always invite us back. So it's just been so so reaffirming to Jenny and I that this information really is important, and people get it, and they
yeah.
want to hear it. And the children, the students, they are so interested in this topic, and they have so many questions.
Great questions.
Really good questions. So it's really just been so affirming that this information is just so important. And again, in this year of mercy, you know, it's not an accident. You know, everything happens for a reason. The Holy Spirit truly, in the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, that it's time that we share more of this, and that we can truly help more women and children, if we can share with them the beauty of adoption and help increase those numbers from now less than 2% of those unplanned pregnancies resulting in an adoption plan, to increasing that so
yeah.
more women and children can truly be helped.
And Speaking of that, you know, all kind of government funding goes out to these pro-choice people, but wouldn't it be great if funding went out to people who would want to adopt a child, and they may not be of the means, but there was something to supplement their income so that that child got the nice the medical care and the schooling and things like that that it would need.
Our country has a great tax reimbursement for adoptions that people should understand. I also don't think that's out there enough, is that when your adoption is finalized, the year your adoption is actually finalized, you are eligible for a tax credit. And right now I believe it's somewhere around $13,000. And that comes in an actual check. It's not like a credit. It actually comes in the form of a check, and it's very helpful to defray the cost of your adoption.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. See, that's what I think that people should know about, that there's it's not that, oh, I'm going to have another mouth to feed, and do this, do that, another school, tuition, things like that. So that $13,000
very helpful. Would,
pretty much would cover the cost of tuition at a high school for a child. I mean, you're feeding him and you're him or her and giving them the family traditions, but if you didn't get that check, it still would be taking care of them, and they would still be getting the love and the necessary medical care that they would need.
And to be clear, just so we're clear, when a woman chooses an adoption plan for her child, there's absolutely no cost to her whatsoever. There are no fees. There's actually support that she can get during her pregnancy and after the baby is born to help her through that process. When we're talking about fees and any kind of costs associated with adoption, those are all on the side of the adoptive family. So this tax credit and everything would be something that the adoptive family could apply for and get help with. Mm-hmm. And again, we just want to talk about some of the resources that someone can find on our website. So if you're interested in learning more about adoption, or you are someone that is working with women that are facing unplanned pregnancies, or if you work in a school or anything where you're teaching people about pro-life issues and want to learn more about adoption, our website, adoptionisalovingoption.org, has a lot of great resources there that are completely free. One of the things that's there is our good friend Bill Rose, also of Mary, Mother of the Redeemer Parish. He is the founder of joyfulfilms.com, and he created a 7-minute documentary which talks about Jenny's family and my family, and it's on our website and it's available. So it's a great way to hear our stories in video form, and that's something anyone can go get there and access and use any way that you would like. And also another thing that you'll find on our website is Jenny and I wrote a song called Let Me Live, and we created it. We wrote the words, and then Johnny Ngadi, who is a contemporary Christian musician, set it to music and performs it, and it's just beautiful. And the words to Let Me Live are really, we were inspired by our children when we wrote the words, and it really is the voice of the unborn child. It's the unborn child talking to its mother who is pregnant. So on a program like Voices for the Unborn, it's perfect. Mm-hmm. So we encourage you to go to our website. There you can hear the song. Was written by Johnny Ngadi. You can find out more about him at johnnyngadi.com. And there's a video there, again, created by Bill Rose of Joyful Films.
It's powerful.
And it's beautiful. And again, it's another thing that it's a resource that's there. It's free for anyone that would like to use it in any way they would like. It's there. So please feel free to check out our website, look at all the resources that are there, and use them in any way that you find useful in your life and in your ministries.
Give the website.
Is adoptionisalovingoption.org, and that's all squished together, no spaces.
Right.
And you can reach Jenny and I that way again
and
as well.
And if you just did a search for adoption, and you get a whole bunch, and you'd see your website would be listed in that.
Sure.
Yes.
Somewhere in there. Also, in speaking of resources, I want to also just address the resources that are available for birth mothers, for women facing unplanned pregnancies, because I think that also is not clear and not really well known, that there are so many resources available to them. Each state actually dictates the amount that a birth mother can be helped financially with, but they're very helpful. A birth mother can receive living expenses and rent money or medical coverage, or even assistance with helping apply for Medicaid and getting them on Medicaid, for maternity clothes, Some agencies even actually offer college scholarships. I know that the agency that we worked with, they did that as well. So I think that it's important for them to realize that there are a lot of resources out there that can actually help them through this difficult time. If that's one of the things that's keeping them from making a plan, they can actually receive financial help and other types of help as well.
If somebody called in and or went on your website and wanted to meet with you and talk about, how do I go about to sit down with you and
Absolutely.
And what type of paperwork is necessary and things, you know, to take that first step? Would they just go to the website and then send you an email or something?
Exactly.
Or go on Facebook? You have Facebook.
Marie and I are both on Facebook and Instagram, and our website have our email addresses, and either one of us would be more than happy to help. We're very good at that. We're like professional adoption helpers. We can help you start the process.
Okay.
Yeah, in addition to our webpage, we also are on Facebook at Adoption is a Loving Option, so we can be reached in both of those ways. And for either way, like Jenny said, we always welcome questions for people that are interested in adopting children, and we can help them kind of get started through that process and help them even locate agencies or professionals to work with, and also from the other side to educate and learn more from the standpoint of helping someone facing an unplanned pregnancy.
Well, down at the seminar, the Respect Life office who promoted your being there, I would think that they would recommend to the schools and to the high schools that they should have you come in there, maybe not once, but maybe a couple of times a year. And that would really help reduce the number of abortions by people who would choose adoption. So I would think that would be something that they could do on their part.
We've been blessed and lucky that we've been asked back by almost all the school. I think every school we've been to, we've been asked
everyone.
Back to. So that's been good.
You could see how Molly Kelly went all over the country and to schools every year. She went to that school every year and or in Archdiocese of Philadelphia. Up in Canada she would go. And so you establish that. You have all this good information. But there's no way that the people would have no financial charge to come and counsel with you and things like that. So that should be made known to them. Well, I go there, it's going to cost me $100.
Right. Nothing.
No.
Nothing.
So,
and again, that intentionally, because, you know, our goal is to get this message out there. So we don't want any barriers for that to happen. Mm-hmm. So that's our goal, is to have as many people as possible hear about the beauty of adoption.
If we're able to plant one seed and change one mind only by doing this for however long we do it, it's worth it. If we can save the life of one child, it's worth it. And we already see those seeds that we've planted, and it's more than one. So we feel good about that.
Well, it's just another arm of the pro-life effort, pro-life movement, because you're out there who we can tell somebody at an abortion mill, you can choose adoption and contact this organization, and they will show you how, you know, it's not going to cost you things, that there's a lot of government benefits to you choosing adoption rather than having an abortion and then grieving the rest of your life about that decision. If you make this decision, it's going to be, everything is going to be a positive outcome. Yeah.
And Bill, something you said is so true, and we talk about this a lot, that when women choose abortion, that decision is final.
Yep.
And there's never an opportunity for a relationship with that child in this earthly life. But if they choose adoption, there is. They have the opportunity, if they want, to be able to watch their child grow and thrive, and to be able to get pictures and letters and possibly visits and all of that. All of that's possible for them to have a relationship with that child. And that's such a huge distinction, like you said. And we have found over and over again, because our birth mothers have told us, you know, my daughter Michaela, her birth mother, sent us an email once, and it said, you know, thank you so much for coming into my life when I needed you the most. I thank you for that, and I will never forget you for that, and for the love that you are showing Michaela, a life that I couldn't give her. So that's huge. You know, we know when we receive those, and that's not unique. We see that over and over again within our adoption support group, that adoptive families receiving these kinds of emails from birth mothers, and they see that, you know, these women, they really do come to a place of peace. Do they grieve? of course, they grieve. You know, they grieve that they no longer, that there is a loss there, but they do come to a place of peace, where with abortion, we hear so many women, they grieve, but that grief is forever. It doesn't go away.
Well, I want to remind everybody again, we've got about 10 and a half minutes left on the program. If you have any questions, call in at 215-345-1570. And like I said, this station is heard out in Coatesville and in the Philadelphia area. So we have a vast listening audience. We want to hear from some of you.
Don't be shy. See the questions the students ask us, it's unbelievable. We answer them all. We're happy to do it. There's some funny things we could talk about. So anything's game.
Well, and I think face-to-face is a better way to promote your efforts. That's why I would talk to some of the schools that eighth graders should be hearing these efforts that you make. Mm-hmm. And about, and I know that there's a couple of young people were down there at the, and they had a couple of questions. Mm-hmm. And
get great questions from the kids. They're honest, so they feel. I think they must feel some level of comfort with us because they ask the questions, and they're good questions.
Mm-hmm. One question I did have was the birth mothers who later move on with their life, when you hear from them and keep in contact with them, did they then maybe start their own family, have children?
I can speak to that firsthand. Two of our birth parents of our children were young when they had Grace and or Sophia and Rocco, and now they're happily married and have children of their own. Yes.
Do the does your children feel a relationship with them as a half brother or half sister? Do they?
My son Alex is 10 now, and when he was born, his birth mother had adult children. So his half siblings have kept in touch with us a lot over the years. And as a matter of fact, his birth mother just visited us in December. She came out. She lives on the West Coast, came out to the East Coast and for some travel, and we got to spend some time together. It was really great. And my son Alex really does have a strong affinity to one half sister, because she graduated from the Air Force Academy in 2010, and she invited us to her graduation, and we went. And the following year, she got married, and she asked Alex to be the ring bearer in her wedding. So he has a strong bond with her, and he knows it's his birth sister, and you know, and our children they refer to their birth mothers as their birth mothers, and they call them by their first names. So they get that, but they also know that they have a family. You know, they have their brothers and sisters who they grow up with, and that this really, the relationships we build with our birth families, they become extended family to us. That's really the way it kind of looks within our house.
Right. Yes, there's so many questions that after the adoption, things down the road that can happen that can, on both sides, the change of mind of the birth mother, like, you know, the child who you adopt might turn out that has some kind of physical disease. And
yeah, it's really no different than having a biological child.
Right,
it's the same. You just don't know, right?
Well, that's what I was mentioning. It. My aunt that raised me, my sister said, oh, she was against it because she'd think you don't know what that child has in their history, you know.
So. But actually, you do know. That's another advantage that people should understand that are interested in adopting but possibly afraid, is that when we're adopting, we get as much medical information as we can on the birth parent's history. I remember receiving back to our first adoption that our birth mother had strep throat at 13. I mean, we had like a completely full medical background.
Yeah.
So you do know a lot today. Unlike before how it used to be, you didn't know as much. We really do know a lot about our birth parents' medical
background. Well, that's like situations if the extended family, if somebody has a disease, a heart, and might need like the blood type might be the same, and they would turn to the adoptive parent to say, your child could really help my daughter. Right. Mm-hmm. So there's things like that could really help. So, okay.
And Bill, I think we talked about this, I think, before we actually went on the air, but you mentioned faith. And, you know, the adoption process is all about faith on all sides. You know, the birth mothers take a huge leap of faith, you know, and entrusting another family to raise their child. And we as adopted parents, we do the same thing. So it's a huge leap of faith to know that. But we know that God's in control and God is bringing us together with these birth mothers and with these children to create families in a unique way. And it's really, you know, and it's just a beautiful thing that, you know, and that is really the beauty of adoption, is that exchange of a little human life that is completely driven by love. Yeah. And God makes it happen, and it's beautiful.
Well, I had, during the week, I had questions that I would ask, and I thought, well, that's not a good one. But one of them would be, like, you're both Catholic families, and the child who you adopted, maybe the parents, the mother, might not have been a Catholic. Mm-hmm. And do they later feel that, I really don't want my child to be raised Catholic, and, I'm a Muslim now, you know, and I want him to come over,
So, again, I think it's important to just mention to you this process that happens before the adoption takes place on both sides is very thorough with most agencies, if they're good, reputable agencies. You're filling out, we as adoptive families are filling out a very detailed mental health background, medical health background, and also our faith, what we practice, what we believe. And then she is as well.
Okay.
And then they are trying to match those people. You know, if she wants her child raised in a Jewish family, then they're going to show her Jewish families. Yeah. If she says, I'm open to any Christian family, then it's open to anyone. So hopefully those things are lining up before the placement of the child. It's very detailed.
Did you, did each of you go to like the same adoption agency? Or do they, how do you find out that there's a child down in Florida who, the mother wants the child to be adopted?
There are so many agencies and adoption professionals out there. When people are seeking to adopt, we always tell them just get as much information as you can until you feel comfortable moving forward with some path. Within our group, there are some agencies that we have used a lot. And there is a website also called AdoptiveFamilies.com, which is an excellent resource for anyone interested in adopting to kind of find out all the ways that you can adopt, find out more about agencies and things. And for anyone local, and I guess everyone here would be close enough to Montgomery County and to North Wales, PA, our adoption support group is open to anyone that is interested in adopting. We get families that come that are just learning more about it. And there we share with them the experiences we've had with different agencies. And so people can learn a lot more about, you know, how different agencies work, what experiences we've had with them, so that way they can get more information and feel good about moving forward with some decision. So it's there are lots of agencies out there, lots of good people, and it is important that you find a good one because they work differently. So people really need to be educated and need to ask good questions. And a resource like a local support group or AdoptiveFamilies.com are excellent resources to help someone in that area.
Mm-hmm. Another question I had was the ages. Like your children were all infants when you adopted them.
One of mine was 3 months old.
3 months old. Mm-hmm. But I'm looking at children that now they've been put up for adoption and they're in an orphanage and they're 8, 9, 10, 11 years old. And you see these commercials on TV that they really would love the family that would adopt them and have you ever been, come contact with any of the parents of those children, or do they just abandon them, leave them here in the adoption agency, and then now that child is going to be, like, to be adopted, to go through all the paperwork, and they would have to give all the information you give. Now, do they have that before they put them in your adoption agency?
So I think what you're talking about are actually two different things. So in the United States, we don't have orphanages anymore. If a child is placed for adoption, then he or she would be matched with a family, and that adoption plan would take place. Like if they're at a hospital and she had no plan planned, and then all of a sudden she says, I want an adoption plan. The hospital is capable and able to get that plan in action and place that child with a loving family. If a child is taken out of the home because of circumstances that are harmful to the child, whether it's drug abuse or neglect or whatever, physical abuse, mm-hmm. then that child's placed in foster care.
Foster care, yeah.
So they're two different things. Foster care and adoption are two very different processes. You want to speak about that? You're good at that, Maria.
Sure. The foster care, they are very different. Like Jenny said, the children that wind up in the foster care system have been removed from their home for some reason, where with the domestic adoption, the birth mothers are consciously making the choice to make that kind of a plan. So adoptions do happen through the foster care system, but that process is very different than domestic infant adoption. So, and those are the kinds of things we do hear a lot about, especially within the city. It's clear that the students there, when they ask questions about adoption, it's clear that many of them have experience with the foster care system in some way, and a lot of their questions come from that. And I think that's, you know, we talk a lot about how we think that's sometimes where some of the myths and misconceptions come from, because foster care and that system work very differently than domestic infant adoption. And that's why we encourage people to learn more about domestic infant adoption and how it's such a loving option for women that are facing an unplanned pregnancy.
Okay, we have approximately a minute to go, I guess, now. And I wanted to thank you both for coming on the program. I'm sure that people who are listening, they might not call. People tell me, oh, I heard the program. I said, why didn't you call? But they gathered a lot of information about adoption that they can speak to somebody in their family or, you know, maybe a young girl who's pregnant to make the best choice would be adoption. So, and it is a loving choice. Mm-hmm. That's the big important thing. So, maybe we will have you back again when you can tell us some more about some success stories. Or call in on the phone, because when the program's on, we'd open up the lines and have people call in, you know. So,
well, Bill, we can't thank you enough for having us on, and we welcome anyone reach out to us through adoptionisalovingoption.org or through our Facebook page, and that's where you can reach out to us, ask any questions, invite us to come and speak at your school or organization. We'd be happy to talk to all of you.
Well, I'm tangled up here in the speaker. thing. So you can see how professional I am. anyway, again, we hope to have you come back or call in when something comes up that maybe somebody, you know, about a child, that mother wants to put the child up for adoption, and we can just make an announcement about that, which would be good, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we went off the air now. The music is playing, so God bless you all, and tune back in. We have our next guest. God bless you. Bye.